Hi, I'm Jayant Sriram and welcome to In Focus, the Hindu's analysis podcast. Thanks for joining us. We timed this edition of In Focus to coincide with an important bit of parliamentary history. 50 years ago on this day, that's August 9, 1970, was the last time that a private member's bill was passed by both houses of parliament. Now, you may be familiar with private member's bills or be vaguely aware. Save for a few very high-profile ones, they don't often make the news. But nonetheless, they remain an important part of the parliamentary process. A private member's bill is the only way for a parliamentarian, who is not in the government as a minister, to introduce a piece of legislation. And the fact that it's been 50 years since a legislation proposed by a private member of parliament was actually enacted into a law tells a story of its own. So we'll use this episode to take a break from the regular news cycle and take a look instead at some parliamentary history. We'll discuss why time given to discussing private members' bills has declined over the years. We'll look at some of the important ones proposed in the past and in recent years, and how the process around them can be strengthened going forward. My guest today is Chakshu Roy. He's the head of legislative and civic engagement at the non-profit PRS Legislative Research, which tracks all things to do with parliament and lawmaking in India. Chakshu Roy, welcome to In Focus once again. Thank you for joining us.
Jayant, thank you for having me.
Right. So we're coming up upon a very interesting moment in parliamentary history. That is today, in fact, the day when this podcast is published. August 9th, 1970 was the last time in India that a private member bill was passed by both houses of parliament. Now, a lot of people might know what private member bills are. A lot of people may not, because given that this was that 50 years ago was the last time that both houses of parliament passed one, it may not have made a lot of news, or it's not part of the regular news cycle. So I guess I'll start over there. We can just go into some constitutional parliamentary history. What is a private member bill? How did it? What's the idea behind it? And what is it supposed to achieve in parliamentary function?
Our members of parliament are lawmakers. Our constitution, you know, gives them the responsibility for making laws. Now, very often, this responsibility translates into members of parliament debating and discussing legislation that is brought forward or piloted by the government. But parliament also allows individual members of parliament who are not ministers to write up their own legislation, bring it to parliament, discuss it, and if they have the support of the House, also to get it passed. So any legislation which is piloted by a member who is not a minister is called a private member legislation. And as you mentioned in your opening remarks, we are now at a moment when the last time a private member bill received the assent of the president and came into law was approximately, you know, half a century ago.
Right. Sorry, one second. Yeah. So is the process for a private member bill to become an act, is it similar to government bills?
Any legislation that is passed by parliament, whether it is, you know, piloted by the government or a private member, goes through the exact same process with one small difference. And the difference is if a Lok Sabha member introduces a legislation in Lok Sabha, they can only get it passed in their house. Our rules of parliamentary functioning prohibit a member of one house to participate in the proceedings of the other house. So what happens is that when a private member bill gets passed by one house, then it is championed in the other house by a member of that house. So anytime, so for example, you know, the last private member bill that was passed was a bill called the Right of Transgender Persons Bill, which was piloted by Mr. Tiruchi Siva. He was able to, you know, have that bill passed in Rajya Sabha. But for that bill to come into Lok Sabha, it then had to be piloted by a Lok Sabha member of parliament.
Right. And so on that occasion, it did not happen because, yeah, I remember this bill making news in 2015, was it?
That's correct.
Right, yeah. So 2015, so Mr. Tiruchi Siva gets the bill passed in the Rajya Sabha, but nobody then takes it up in the Lok Sabha.
Well, actually, people take it up in the Lok Sabha, but by right. then the government introduces its own version of a bill on a similar subject, and the government's bill is passed.
Right. So taking cues from the private members' bill.
Correct.
Or taking elements from the private members' bill.
Correct.
Right. So again, just bringing up a statistic that you sort of helpfully provided me here. And we're looking at the period 2011 to 2019, why are we excluding 2014?
Election year.
Oh, right, right. So, and excluding 2014, which is an election year. So, about 1800 private member bills have been introduced in this period. And keep in mind that Parliament meets for about 70 days in a year, and private member bills are taken up for discussion on Fridays. So that's just 14 Fridays in a year. But still, 1800 private member bills have been introduced in this 8-year period, but only around 60 of them have actually been considered. So why is that? What exactly happens around private member bills? Is there just not a lot of interest anymore?
Jayant, actually, you know, there are two things that are at play when it comes to private member bills.
Right.
First is, as you pointed out, is the pure logistical challenge. Ever since our parliament started, the amount of time that private member bills get is extremely limited. So, as you pointed out in your question, private member bills are debated on a Friday, and not on every Friday, on every alternate Friday when Parliament is in session.
Right.
So that's one. So just the number of available Fridays, you know, for you to be able to debate such a legislation. The second challenge is that it is a question of as to how interested are members in private member legislation. Now, one number indicates that members are extremely interested because, you know, they're introducing 1,000 plus private member bills. So clearly they are taking it seriously. But there is also a little bit of disinterest in Parliament when it comes to private member legislation. And that can be seen by the empty seats in both Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha on a Friday. Now, Fridays are, you know, rather unique in Parliament because of the placement of the day itself. On Fridays, especially in the second half of the day when private member business is supposed to take place, members of Parliament are actually leaving Delhi to go back to their constituency and be with their constituents. So the actual number of people who are in the House to debate and discuss private member bills is also limited. And on some occasions, I've also witnessed that quorum in the House is not there, and the House has to be adjourned because of the less number of people, MPs in Parliament. But there's another aspect. The other aspect is if for the last 50 years, you know, private member legislations have not passed, it is also a signal as to the amount of support that these legislation get from the government. Now, in the past, you know, we've had private member bills getting passed, and government, whether consciously or reluctantly, you know, agreeing to those bills. But recently, in the last 50 years, governments have been that much more reluctant to support private member legislation. In fact, one of the usual things that happens is after a bill is fully discussed, a minister who's supposed to be responding to that debate on that bill will request the member who's piloting the bill and say, you know, can you withdraw this bill and my ministry will think about introducing a bill on similar lines. And very often, members of parliament agree to that request. But there's a renewed interest in private member bills in the last few years. One, because members of parliament use private member bills as a mechanism for highlighting issues that are there in the public domain. Sometimes they can be political issues. So, for example, a Rajya Sabha member 1 or 2 years ago introduced a bill on the construction for Ram Mandir. Another member of parliament introduced a bill which talked about family planning. I remember Dr. Shashi Tharoor had introduced a bill talking about legalization of gay relationships. So people, members of parliament also use private member legislation to highlight contemporary issues and their perspective on those issues. So despite the fact that, you know, there is a little bit of a reluctance from the government side, members of parliament still think that this is an extremely valuable mechanism in their hands to draw people's attention to certain issues.
Right, yeah. No, I was going to get to that also, the aspect of how legislators themselves view piloting private member bills. And PRS, of course, works with a lot of MPs on the ground. And aside from highlighting the issues that are in the public sphere and bringing attention to them, do legislators still see this in some way as being a very pivotal part of being a parliamentarian, introducing a private member's bill?
Jayant, I think when members of parliament view their role, they view the role in two aspects. One is obviously catering to their constituents, and the second is making a meaningful contribution to parliament's working. Now, if I look at the subjects of private member bills that get introduced, they get introduced on a whole range of things. So members of parliament introduce private member bills to amend the constitution or to amend existing acts or to find a gap in existing legislation and fix that gap. And I'll give you an example. So for example, when Rajesh Pilot was in his first term in parliament back in the 80s, he introduced a bill which talked about how members of parliament should declare their assets and liabilities. Now, this is something that we take for granted now, that when members of parliament fight an election, they will declare their assets and liabilities. But that was an idea that actually started out, back in the day in the 80s and culminated into it finally happening, in the last 10 years. So those are interesting aspects as to how members of parliament think that their ideas have value and they want to bring that value to parliament. And they want to share their ideas with other members of parliament to see as to whether their ideas receive support. So for them, it is an extremely passionate, parliamentary tool. Otherwise, they wouldn't be investing so much time and energy in it. After all, a private member bill takes time and effort. It takes time to be drafted. It takes time to, garner support within the House when their bill is getting discussed. And it also takes, a lot of gumption to stand up and say, I'm going to stand by my bill and not withdraw it. So clearly, members of parliament find value in that, and that's why they go ahead with it.
So one point that struck me earlier, which you mentioned that, a private member's bill is obviously by definition one that is introduced by a parliamentarian who is not a minister. Given over the last 5 years, definitely, but even going back, obviously our politics has become more and more polarized. Our governments generally don't like to recognize perhaps legislation work done by opposition MPs. So is 1970 also the last time that a member of the opposition can actually contribute legislation?
Jayant, if you look at the statistics, every private member bill that has been passed has till the 1970 was a private member bill which was piloted by a member of the ruling party.
Right.
And I think there was one private member bill that was piloted by an independent MP.
Right.
Mr. Tiruchi Siva bill was interesting because, he was an opposition MP in Rajya Sabha, and he was able to garner support within the opposition and get that bill, passed through Rajya Sabha. But there are two things at play here. One is, the difference between the Treasury and the opposition, and also the subject. Very often, I've also always seen that opposing members of parliament will support each other's bill if they are agreeable on the subject. Take, for example, subjects around parliamentary reform. Whenever bills have come to parliament which have discussed parliamentary reform, there is cross-party support on those bills. And, one such bill which has come on multiple occasions has been a bill on increasing the number of sitting days of parliament. And when that bill was being discussed, members of parliament, both from the ruling party and the opposition, said, this is a great idea and the government should think about it. So I think, one factor obviously plays party politics. And sometimes, an opposition member's bill will get blocked also. So for example, Dr. Shashi Tharoor's bill that I was talking about earlier, that bill could not be introduced because before a bill is introduced, there is a motion to introduce the bill. And the motion to introduce Dr. Shashi Tharoor's bill was blocked by the Treasury benches. And that's parliamentary politics. If you have the numbers, you can get your bill passed. And if you have the numbers, you can get a bill blocked. But it also depends on the subject of the bill. Very often, the subject of a bill would be something that would appeal to cross parties. And then members of parliament will rally onto that bill and, support that bill by speaking in favor of that bill in the House. But there is another thing that is coming to play. And that thing is how much resources do members of parliament have to be able to draft good private member bills? Legislations, by their very nature, are supposed to be technical legislation. By their very nature, have a large impact, especially when they're passed by parliament. And members of parliament do not have that research support, that technical support that the government has. Very often, the bills that they introduce in parliament are not always up to the mark. Their intention might be right, but it would require a lot of work for that bill to be improved, amended, enhanced before it could take the shape of law. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes, bills come across in a very well-drafted form. I remember, for example, when Mr. I.K. Gujral was a member of Rajya Sabha, he had introduced a bill on private member legislation, women's reservation. When Atal Bihari Vajpayee was a member of Rajya Sabha, he had introduced a bill which talked about how to limit contributions from companies to political parties. And some of those ideas were picked up by the government. Mr. Vajpayee's idea was picked up by the government, and the law was amended to limit those contributions. It's a different matter that the law has changed again to remove that limit. The women's reservation bill, was debated in parliament, was passed in Rajya Sabha, approximately 10-12 years after Mr. I.K. Gujral's bill. So I think the government also uses private member bills as identifying subject areas which are well worth taking forward, either in the private member bills, either in the private member's name or in the government's name. Usually the trend is that good ideas get picked up. Government may or may not acknowledge the contribution of a private member. But, if that idea gets picked up and then gets carried forward, then possibly, I think that's a great thing. For example, another great idea that was taken up by the government was the Right to Information Bill, which was passed in the UPA 1 tenure in 2005.
Okay.
There were several private members who had introduced bills with similar idea about how to open up government, how to make government functioning more transparent in the late 90s and the early 90s. And for government to take up that idea and make it their own and bring it, shows validation that those ideas had strength. And it took time, but, they definitely got to the House. So to me, an important aspect of private member bills, whether they get passed, whether they get discussed, is the fact that they act as a signaling mechanism to the government. It's a dipstick for the government to say, this is what members of parliament are thinking, and possibly some of these ideas might be well worth considering.
No, that's really interesting. So, of course, one thing that I may have omitted to ask is that, we've been talking a lot about the period post-1970, also because we've fashioned this as a kind of a 50 years after the last private members bill that was passed by both houses. Do we have any information from pre-1970 to suggest that perhaps in the early decades of the functioning of India's parliament, private members' bills were perhaps taken up more widely, or not taken up more widely, but perhaps passed more often by both houses?
Yeah. So, in fact, in the first term of a parliament, which began in 1952, there were six private member bills which were passed by both houses of parliament. I think five of them originated in the Lok Sabha, one of them originated in the Rajya Sabha. One interesting one that comes to my mind was Firoz Gandhi, who was a Congress MP, had introduced a bill which has a bearing on how newspapers and websites report on parliamentary functioning. The name of his bill was Proceeding of Legislature's Protection of Publication Bill. And the idea of the bill was that if a news publication reproduced the parliamentary proceedings in a correct form, they should not be, liable for civil or criminal proceedings for publishing a true account of what happened in parliament. And that laid the foundation for parliamentary reporting and reportage over the last 70 years. And that's not the only one. I remember I don't remember because I wasn't there, but a parliamentary record suggests that Rukmini Devi Arundel had introduced a bill for ensuring that there was no cruelty done to animals. And Jawaharlal Nehru, who was present in the House that day, actually commended her and said, that her bill had the right ideas. And he assured her that, the government will pick up on those ideas and introduce a bill by the government. And the government went ahead and did that. So there are examples of both things, bills getting translated and the government also picking up on ideas. Another interesting bill that came to that I remember is Vallabhbhai Patel's daughter was in parliament, and she had introduced a bill, and she was a Congress member of parliament, and the law minister tried to convince her to withdraw her bill. And at the first instance, she would not agree. She wasn't too sure as to whether she wanted to withdraw the bill or not. The debate in the House had to be adjourned so that she could be convinced one way or the other. So it's not as if that the government did not always press upon members. The government did press upon members when it was sure that it had some ideas in the works which would be more comprehensive than what the private members are piloting. But I think the difference was that there was a little more time to debate on some of these legislations. Obviously, Parliament used to sit for longer number of days till about the 1960s and early 70s. So that's one aspect that we hope that our Parliament, if it works for longer number of days, perhaps there'll be more time for things like private member.
Right. Yeah, that's a good place also to end. Also, since we in a sense we are talking about a process that is important to Parliament. And given that it has kind of suffered, and one of the reasons that you mentioned is because there is poor attendance, there isn't that much time to take up discussion on private member bills, what would be your suggestions just to kind of strengthen that process?
Jen, one of the things that we have to recognize is that members of parliament as lawmakers do an important service by highlighting to the government gaps in existing legislation that they encounter. One way to recognize that is to give a little more time for private member bills, private member business. So possibly an increased number of hours. Now, one way I would think is, you know, rather than devoting half a day, either, you know, make Parliament sit for a longer number of days so that there are more Fridays on which private member business can be taken. And another idea that I think should be well worth exploring is, because members of Parliament, you know, decide to travel, you know, on a Friday afternoon to go back and be with their constituents, maybe move private member business to middle of the week, where, so possibly a, you know, Tuesday or a Wednesday, when they are already in town, and, you know, Friday is much further down. So that, you know, there is more active participation and some of these ideas get, you know, the kind of attention they deserve middle of the week. Because even media attention kind of, you know, starts declining, you know, come a Friday. But if it's the middle of the week, you know, possibly there's that much more incentive for members of parliament to take this seriously. And there'll be more parliamentarians present in the house. And the government can obviously get their business done on a Friday by issuing a whip and ensuring people's attendance. So I think those are two things that I would like to see to get private member bills a little more prominence in our parliamentary function.
Right. So I think we'll end it there. Chakshu, always fascinating to talk to you and to draw upon your encyclopedic knowledge of parliament and its processes. And I hope to see you again very soon on the In Focus podcast.
Thank you, Jayan. Thank you for highlighting such an important issue. Always good to be on your podcast.